Welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We did open the entire thing up with Bring Back Toonami by Richie Branson. You know they're working on it.
I actually heard they're doing it again.
They're doing it again. And
maybe this time it won't be terrible.
They started with the new Samurai Jack.
I haven't seen it.
One of my friends
did a marathon of the old Samurai Jack, so I got a good chunk of that back
in me. All four previous seasons of Samurai Jack.
And I have not started watching. I've heard very good things.
You got to be careful with good things like that. Before we start the whole thing off, this is Experience Points. This is the name of the show. We drop nerd and geek knowledge on you. If you couldn't tell, we immediately started talking about...
Apparently I'm easily distracted.
About Toonami and stuff. So thanks for tuning in. It's Wednesday. Hopefully we... are on the air
this
in our
week.
Time slot this week, the 22nd. So if we're here,
it'd be great.
If we're not, thanks. We have a website in case this is off time, out of time, or whatever. We have a website where we're going to cut, chop, put all this audio at bare. What is the website?
You can go to exppoints.com if you remember to double tap the P.
We're also on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, and the Steam community. You can check us out at exppoints.com/social. You'll get a landing page for all of those places. We're also available to stream and download your podcast at Stitcher and iTunes, Google Play Podcast Music Services, and Spotify, or you can
basically
just stream us from
everywhere.
The site if you want. Yeah, we're international. Worldwide, people know us. We got over 150 episodes online.
That's insane.
Right now. I know. They let us stay on the air for several years. It's real
crazy. It's really their fault.
We are going to cut to three songs, come back, talk about what we did last week, and then get to some music or some news.
More music. Why
more
not?
Music after that.
We missed you guys.
This is Milky Ways by Boss Fight, followed by Star Fox by Entertainment System, and then Critical Hit by No More Kings. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points, I'm still MG.
Wait, checking, I'm Red Bear.
Despite everything, I'm still Red Bear. That was Critical Hit by No More King. Before that, Star Fox, Corneria, Asteroids by Entertainment System. We opened it all up with Milky Ways by Boss Fight. We don't play Milky Ways enough. I really love it. It's such like a big, heavy-hitting song.
I love how accurately and scientifically you chose it, though.
Yeah, I did. So randomly choosing music, like some songs you're like, I definitely want this. And then the rest are like clicks. Scroll, scroll, click, scroll up, scroll down, click,
watching.
Scroll nine times down, scroll five times up, count
system.
To three, breathe out, resize the icons, click that.
I have to stand on one foot.
We got five extra icons, five extra songs. So let's talk about what we did last week. Bear, what did you do last week?
Last week?
Now, technically, we've been out for 2 weeks because last week's show was the previous week's show, so 2 weeks ago show. So what have you been doing, I guess, for the last 2 weeks?
For the last couple weeks.
You did not get a Switch. You have not been playing Zelda.
I did not get a Switch. I've not been playing the new Zelda.
I'm sorry.
I think I mentioned last time, I'm not upset by that. I'm going to wait and hopefully have another hardware revision in the next year.
Breath of the Link to the Ocarina of the Time Past Minish Cap.
That was more like hardware revision 1.1 where they fixed some of the initial launch issues, but okay.
Oh, I was saying, I thought you meant the new Zelda.
I'm in the system.
Merged like Ocarina of Masks, Link to the Cap.
But I actually have been playing Ocarina of Time.
Nice.
And I would still be playing it, but someone said I play games too much in the studio.
Yeah, this guy.
Like, we're not on a nerd show about video games.
You were like,
stop gaming and you'd pay attention.
You would just turn the music down and still try to, like, pay attention to the show.
I've never done that before, guys. You always have my full attention, regardless of what MG says.
I feel like there'd be...
I'm here for you.
There would be a segment right now where I should, like, pause the show and, like, let's check it out.
And then,
play some 90s sitcom like bed music, and then also put in little snippets of you being like, oh, I just caught a Jigglypuff, or oh, look at the Pikachu.
I got it for DS. It's the first DS cartridge that I've put into this DS that is not Pokemon.
Wow.
The other ones were Pokemon Soul Silver, X, and Moon.
So this is something that we'll talk about in the next segment, but just remind me to during the break to talk about that. What else? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what else? And then I went and saw Beauty and the Beast. Amidst all the controversy.
How was that tale as old as time?
I really enjoyed this movie. Everyone was worried about gayness. I was more worried about CG-ness. And seeing how, because it's live action.
Right.
And getting, you know, Lumineer and
Lumiere.
Lumiere.
Lumineer is like.
French?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. They are.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I had that one guy. That part of that. I had a country music singer for French class. What do you want from me?
They're part of that provincial town.
What do you want from me?
No, it's true.
Yeah. So
I think Ewan McGregor is Lumiere, isn't it? Didn't he?
I have no idea. I have to look.
He was the
I'm
guy.
Not gonna lie on the hair to these nice
He
people.
Was Obi-Wan in the first three.
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan a different Job. Beginning sequels for the Star Wars trilogy.
Anyway, the CG I thought was done very well, and it wasn't breaking or jarring, which is what my fear was.
Okay.
You know, being live action, all I thought that was done very well.
How was Hermione? Was she good?
Emma
Watson, despite all the controversy.
Yeah, I think the actors did a fabulous job and everything. And you know, the controversy is LeFou being gay. Go back and watch the original one, because I haven't yet. I need to.
I don't know that he was exceptionally straight in the first one.
Yeah, that's my point. I don't think he was exceptionally straight. But then, like, as big of a deal that that's been made, I expected something. You know what I mean?
You expected something.
I expected something.
So what makes him openly gay in the movie?
He's just a little flamboyant. And honestly,
Gaston wasn't a little flamboyant. I'm just saying, like,
Gaston, we can get into a whole fanfic over this.
Gaston was like, clearly, like,
repressing some stuff. Well, yeah, we're just saying.
He's trying so hard. Well, first off, the three.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, to start with, anyone who is that manly that I have personally known, the gayest.
Right.
They turn out.
We should break momentarily. A momentary tangent. So Disney geekdom is a thing. Clearly,
oh,
you can
yeah,
be a Disney geek. So don't think it was like they're not talking about video games and Star Wars. How dare they? Video games. No. It's. You know, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Disney geekdom is a big
If you've
thing,
not experienced
so.
A Disney geek,
I
don't know. Whew.
So I don't know if Lion King is my favorite Disney movie, like mainstream, because like Black Cauldron, I really like Black Cauldron.
Black Cauldron was good.
But, you know, I really like Sword in the Stone. I like the classic.
Favorite Disney movie?
You know, I really like Mulan. Mulan's like
They're
a
doing
big
a live
favorite.
Action Mulan next.
And they're not going to have...
No songs, though.
Yeah.
They're saying no songs. And I'm like, but I want songs.
I want Make a Man Out of You. Like,
I want all
or
the
Be a Man, rather.
Well, that's... The songs are what I like in Disney movies, because I'm a dweeb.
Well, I don't know that many Disney movies aren't musicals.
Right. But if they're going to take the songs out of... I mean, this and Beauty and the Beast had all the songs. It was great. I loved it.
Right.
Be Our Guest was amazing.
Good. I'll have to listen to it, because I know Ewan McGregor, he sang from Moulin Rouge. And
which was an exceptionally great movie.
Yeah, and I like the jukebox musical concept of that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you saw Beauty and the Beast. It was
good. Beauty and the Beast did that. Apparently, randomly developed an obsession with Miku.
Yeah. Oh, the Vocaloid?
Yeah, the Vocaloid, unintentionally. It started.
This
Yamaha, is how it starts.
The Yamaha sound synthesizer chip.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah. I love it.
Next thing you're going to do is you're going to buy like a keyboard or whatever. And
well,
you'll be
I
like,
mean, I already have a DJ GSX.
How am I feeling today? It's like, feeling fine. You're going
to
like.
Do not tempt me. Do not tempt me. You know how much free time I have.
That's a good
Do
point.
Not tempt me.
Yeah.
No, it started out because, I mean, I was at, was it Barnes & Noble with
a
friend?
Second and Charles?
No, saw Barnes & Noble with a friend. And I saw they had the blind bags. I'm like, they're cute. I want something more to hang in my car, because apparently that's what I'm doing these days, is hanging things in my car.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Mew hanging, and now I have a Vocaloid hanging. And, I mean, it was cute, whatever. And then I was at Second & Charles, which is, in fact, the happiest place on Earth, despite what Disney may tell you. and they're not a sponsor, but I really love Second & Charles. And I picked up the Omnibus manga by the original artist for Miku.
Okay.
And... pretty much been obsessing over that for the past couple of days. I'm about two-thirds of the way through it.
So it's not really something that you... Like, it's... It's hard to... Whenever we talk about, like, books or video games, there's this idea, at least with video games, like replayability.
Right.
Like, with movies, it's rewatchability. Like, you rewatch Star Wars, like Rogue One. Whenever it comes out, we're going to rewatch Rogue One, and we're going to see what we missed.
Dude,
and,
they better have descriptive audio.
Oh,
I love it. We're watching it with
I did watch Vikings,
audio.
An episode of Vikings with descriptive audio.
Oh, really?
And I got stuck on my Roku for some reason.
Yes,
because
it's
insane.
A Roku.
But anyway, no, so... With as far as rewatchability and replayability, like how much rereadability is there in a manga like that? It is a compendium. It is sort of like the omnibus, so it's
right.
big. You know, it's everything. But I mean,
I would say there's a lot of value in it. It depends. I think the book nerds are a different breed, which I am a part of.
Well, I think the book nerds and the manga nerds are also separate. Like comic book,
well, I will
comic
say
book
that,
and
yeah,
manga
yeah,
nerds
well,
are about the
oh,
same.
Oh yeah, no.
I mean, same vein,
no.
different, clearly different. But
well,
I mean,
like, you want to go to Second Charles? Let's go find a comic book nerd and a manga
no,
nerd.
No, I didn't mean that they were equal.
You're a geek versus nerd by Rhett and Link.
I didn't know that it was. Or I'm not saying that they're equal or that they're the same or that one's better than
yeah.
the other. I'm saying that they're different, but it's the same thing.
Say,
of comic books and manga are very similar.
I
things.
Do think it has replayability in air
right.
quotes, especially after some time passes and you
yeah.
go back because you start. rereading it, you're like, oh yeah, I remember this thing happening. It's cute or funny or
right.
you know, insane. It brings up, you remember how you felt when you read it.
Well, I guess you have some perspective then, because you probably remember the end.
And yeah.
You, now
well,
you
yeah.
can rewatch
and
it.
And the way this is, it's slice of life. So it's like they call each little section a track.
Okay.
Well, a mix.
Yeah.
And so
that makes
it's
sense,
just,
I guess.
It's just a little slice of life. They're all separate. There's not really a continuous story going on so far. But and then on top of that, you have the art of the manga that you can appreciate. I like go back. I look at Scott Pilgrim all the time, where Envy Adams shows up.
Yeah,
that page is amazing.
Yep.
And then throughout this manga, he also interlaced just art pieces.
That's
so
good.
And they're full color.
That's the whole point of the omnibus is to throw in, because that probably wasn't in the
yeah,
original.
That wasn't in the original.
You know.
So yeah, and then like you'll have like a few of the stories, and then like a section of full color. Miku pictures.
Right.
And they're really nice, very well done. I mean, it's the original artist who came up with her, so yay. And that's pretty much been my obsession. What's up with you?
All right. So, lots of video games, right? So, got back into RimWorld. Actually, believe it or not, got back into Kerbal Space Program. I have been feeling.
I have not picked that up in so long.
I have been feeling Kerbal Space Program because I wanted
to. How much have changed?
No, I don't know that it's changed a lot. I'm getting better with making like space plane type stuff and
okay.
just I don't know. I just felt really good about what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Experience Points has a Kerbal Space Program's multiplayer server.
Right.
So if you'd like to get on there, again, expcpoints.com/servers, you can see the little thing, the little information. You have to download like I think DMP, like dark something multiplayer or whatever plugin. But it's free, you can do it. It's really, really nice. I was playing that. I've been playing a lot of Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm probably like less than a third through the story, which is good. Like I am taking it all in. I am not racing to the end. I am side questing whenever there's a side quest. Whenever I see something on the map that I want to go do, I go in, I climb a tall neck that I don't even need yet and expose the map. And I'm really liking how beautiful and how, because again, people talk about Zelda. I don't have a Switch. I don't have a Wii U.
Right.
I have a Wii and I haven't, honestly, after the flood, I didn't even hook it back up. It might not even work anymore. But I appreciate.
Yeah, I will say, I don't really think you're a Nintendo. I don't see it for you.
Me? No.
I don't see you enjoying that type
My favorite
of
Nintendo console was a Super Nintendo.
Right.
And until I've heard people talk about the Switch, like romanticize Zelda Breath of the Wild because it is, and it's not the Switch or it's not the Wii U, it's just that game,
right.
Zelda specifically, that it's enchanting, it is inspiring, it is magical, it makes you feel.
Again, Zelda's just lucky I'm playing any of them right now. That's
right.
My last
right.
stupid original.
The
stupid
I until Zelda. Until I get. You know, extra time. I would like an extra large, like a Switch XL. I'd like a larger screen with like a glass front or some nicer front. I'd want a bigger controller. I would want that or at least a better version, like maybe Gen 2, before I sink. $300 isn't even that much money. Before
no,
I sink
not.
My time and effort into it, certainly I don't want to like fight people in line, you know, on Black Friday or something or whatever, Gray Thursday to get one of the Switches or whatever. And I'm not going to buy a Wii U. You know, until they are significantly discounted, $150. I'm not going to spend more than that on a Wii U.
I gotcha.
But what I can appreciate.
Again, and the way Nintendo works is they get you hooked into different fandoms. Like I said, I'm huge into Splatoon.
Right.
So I'm kind of holding off for Splatoon and hopefully another hardware revision.
What?
And if you're not really into any of that, then yeah, I could see why you wouldn't really. Yeah.
What I appreciate about Horizon Zero Dawn is how well put together the game is. It's Guerrilla Games is not known for third party or third person action adventure RPG
right.
platformers. They're known for first person shooters like Killzone.
Right, right.
Just like let that sink in. They made Killzone. Killzone that is so linear, so boilerplate average sort of shooter. You know, it's not a bad shooter. It's nice, it's fine.
He looks so worried right now.
Well, it's because
I wish I could see his eyes.
There's this emotional connection with game companies that you expect so. I guess so.
Right.
So
yeah, no,
so much so frequent sameness out of right. Like nothing is really, or they're gonna have to do a lot to bring me back to the Call of Duty franchise because Call of Duty,
I'm with you.
Call of Duty and Battlefield, they're the same. They're the same every time. They're in the future. They're in the past. They're in space. They're under the sea. It doesn't matter.
Again, I really liked COD 4 Modern Warfare.
Right, but they're all they're all the same now. It's all the same games. Right. Games are. I think Jim Sterling, Jim Quisition episode recently about Horizon Zero Dawn specifically stated something like, "It's good for everyone that this game is succeeding because in a world that is sort of hell-bent on developers doing sequels that are safe. Zelda is a sequel.
Well, yeah. Well,
Splatoon, Mario,
absolutely.
All of those first-party IPs, they're the first-party IPs, but everybody's doing it. Uncharted is getting a spinoff. Crash Bandicoot's getting remade.
Right.
Crackdown, Halo, all of these things.
Yeah, it's an interesting time in game development. It's a world of nothing
is new IP,
original.
Right?
Right.
We've got new things, but they're not new.
But I mean,
new
I feel like the film
idea.
Industry went through this years ago.
We're still going through it. Now
we're still in it,
in superhero mode where we're getting more and more and more superhero movies.
So it'll be interesting, though, to see where the video game demographic takes it.
Well, even with like Mass Effect, which that's another thing. I played eight or nine hours of Mass Effect. But the nice thing about Horizon is that it symbolizes a good, functional new IP. Mm-hmm. That works in every way. Like, it's not perfect, right? People are giving Zelda perfect 10s. You know, I think that if it's not a new IP, like, I don't know that you should... I don't know that it's worthy of a perfect 10. I haven't played it, so I'm not going to say that it's not worth it.
I would say that I don't really think anything is worthy of a perfect score.
Well, it's subjective. It's out of 10,
nope,
you know.
Objectively.
It's out of 10 you know, numbers. But,
yeah, 10
So numbers. Horizon...
Well, I would say my argument is you can't really... gather everything, the essence of an experience in 10 numbers.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah. I'm just being nitpicky.
The whole point I'm trying to make is that there are numerous things about Horizon that I think I'll talk about it in the next segment because it's something that can take a long time and I don't want to spend too much time on that. I have been playing the Mass Effect Andromeda Trial.
Okay.
And then today,
it
released last. So we're recording this on Tuesday, the 21st.
Right.
It released this morning or last night at 11 p.m. our time. People are definitely finding things wrong with the game. They're saying facial animations are kind of blah. The issue that I have with Mass Effect is I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. It looks great on the 1070. It's native support for 3440 by 1440 resolution. So I have glorious. I'm actually recording everything that I'm doing in 21:9 widescreen, and I'm not commenting on top of it right now. The entire trial, I think 8 of the 10 hours that I played. I haven't said anything. It's just the game. It's no edits. I die when I die. I restore from a save when I restore from a save. Just it's straight. The game is just straight. I'm going to use it for B-roll later whenever we do a video review of it.
Okay.
But I am enjoying the game. Now, there are a few things. Like, before you buy this, you might want to know. Like, there's no one from the original trilogy. They make mild...
Right, this is an entire new crew and everything, right?
Yes, it's actually... And they have good reasons, right? If you played Mass Effect 3, you know the ending sort of does some stuff to the universe in a way that we can't really deal... We can't really, spin off of that. Like, if they were, that would seem sort of cheap. And they would cancel canon to make it work.
Well, they already did the thing with Shepard.
Right. They did a lot of stuff.
The second one.
They did a lot of stuff with Shepard. And good thing that you mentioned the second one, because this actually starts... right after Mass Effect 2. And then all of the whole idea is that you're part of the Andromeda Initiative, where you get in this big Ark ship, and there's a Turian ship, there's a human ship, there's a Salarian ship, and there's an Asari ship. Mm-hmm. They're called Arks, and they've got thousands and thousands of those races, and then there's a human one. Thousands of those races, four of them. And they jet off in search of a new home in the Andromeda Galaxy, and they're asleep for 600 years.
Okay.
So even when we start the game... Shepard, the old crew, the Milky Way galaxy, 600 years ago.
Long ago.
So everything
galaxy,
we knew,
far, far away.
Everything, literally, everything we knew in that storyline is kind of done, more or less. And they make a couple reasons as
you
to why.
You feel like the universe doesn't care about you?
Yeah. it makes reference to why Hanar and what the Krogan are doing and the Quarians, and it makes references and explains all of that away, but there's a lot of nitpicky sort of things about the game, right? The storyline, for one, you show up, you're looking for a new home. There's no spoilers here. This is like the first mission of the game, just to establish the universe. But you show up, you get woken up, and you go about trying to find a new home. You're part of the Pathfinder team. You play Alex or Sarah Ryder. I think you play Sam or Sarah Ryder. I can't remember. You play one of the Ryders. The girl Ryder or the guy Ryder, they're twins. You get to customize the way you look, and you get to customize the way your twin looked. Your father is the Pathfinder. He is sort of this, like, Commander Shepard-esque character that is in charge of finding a new home. He's leading the Pathfinder team. He is called the Pathfinder. He's got an AI called Sam. Sam's snarky, but it's cool. Whatever. He's not Edie. Right?
Okay. That's what I was totally thinking.
Not Edie, not Gladys, somewhere in the middle, right? So, anyway, the things go south real quick, right? You show up on a planet you thought was going to be a golden world for you to settle on, and it turns out it's just garbage. It's terrible. And then bad stuff happens, and before long, you have to become the Pathfinder. You are literally like this greenhorn, wet behind the ears, sort of like brand new person. You're a rookie, and you have to step up.
And you're in the most
up.
Important position.
Right,
of
you
course,
have to step up.
So that never happened.
There's some critique on the storyline being too gamey. You know, you already take these arcs.
I'm already making fun of it.
Yeah, you already take these arcs that are, the Turian arc and the Asari arc and everything, and they're already split up, and then of course they don't arrive on time, so you have to go find them, and there are these planets that have a number of things you scan, and there's something to scan for, some reason to scan. Everything's very much gated in a certain way. It's almost like the plot shows
the
up,
plot
and it's like
it.
Yeah, the plot wills it. Like you show up, and
chant a lot of animes.
The plot is definitely like a very not slow to develop, and it's not. It's not bad.
You're twitching.
It is not a bad so far. It's not bad. Granted, I haven't played it since they've unlocked it.
Right.
And I was only able to get through like 4 or 5 hours before I hit that gate, the trial gate wall, waiting for the thing to drop. But the characters, I've had memorable interactions with several of the characters. The animations are a little wonky and weird.
Did they try like a new animation engine or something?
I don't know. You know, the animation engine in Shepard wasn't very expressive in any of the Mass Effects, I thought. But, I mean, it worked out. I feel like, I guess it feels like there's still room to grow and patches to patch, you know, bugs to patch and weird things to patch.
Right.
But I mean, it's a video game. The story, I think, is going to be great. It's a Mass Effect game. If you liked Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, you'll like this. There's fantastic combat mechanic changes that they made. You have a jump pack, a jet pack that launches you in the air and allows you to zip around. You can switch between any of the character classes that you unlock by hitting escape, going to the character and switching. And I'm pretty sure you can hotkey them. But there's UI problems, like the weird little UI usability problems that I don't know that you can be a good UI designer. I mean, you're probably the last person that they consult about it. So this segment's running long, but effectively, yeah.
I will say, I feel like that's a problem with a lot of AAA developers is what happens.
Yeah. Kerbal, Mass Effect, Horizon, and I did replace my Xbox with the Xbox replacement program. I haven't received I got the new Xbox back. It works fine. But I'm waiting on them to like refund me my $400 so that they've been holding. So let's cut to two songs, come back and talk about some news and talk about Horizon. 20% Cool by Ken Ashcore, Lake Pontchartrain by Ludo. Catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
This is exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I am Red Bear.
That was Lake Pontchartrain by Ludo. Before that, we opened it with 20% Cooler by Ken Ashcore. We spent a lot of time in that previous segment.
Yeah,
so
talked a lot.
We're going to blaze through some of these things. So we talked about PewDiePie talking about Nazis and playing Fiverr to have these guys hold up a sign that says death to all Jews or whatever. And then, in a sort of a streak of, there's always YouTube drama, but in a streak of more
so YouTube drama,
more YouTube drama,
I
right?
I think this has been the year of YouTube drama and it just keeps rolling in. What are you going to talk about?
So specifically about,
you got to pick one thing.
Well, there's two big stories and then also the Horizon thing that I just kind of came up with, but, JonTron. Used to be part with
the Game Grumps.
Hansen with Game Grumps and everything. Ego Raptor, better known as, but John Jafari, who's better known as JonTron, has his own thing. He does regular boots or normal boots or whatever. Recently had a debate with another streamer.
Debates are always a bad idea.
Well, so here's...
I'm sorry. Let me retract that statement because we do need debate.
Debate's important.
And you just... It's always... I feel like everyone always gets taken out of context. It's a difficult thing to do publicly.
So when
that needs to happen,
when you have a debate, there's very clearly being prepared for debate.
Right.
And then there's very noticeably when people are not
prepared.
I don't
know Jon Tron for debating.
No, he's a comedian. He's a commentator. Right. That doesn't mean that you can, I feel like I'm very intelligent. We're both very intelligent people, but there are things that we could debate, and then there are things that we very clearly would not be very good at debating.
Right. And a debate is not an argument. Right. So you have, again, it goes down to preparedness and knowledge of your subject matter.
Right. So anyway, he debated with, I can't remember the other guy, but about 8 days ago, 9 days ago, debated on a lot of statements and or a lot of topics. And one of the big things that he harped on was the minoritization of the Caucasian race in America, sort of the displacement of the majority of the Caucasian majority in America.
And that's a topic you need to be intimately familiar with to effectively debate.
And yeah, so I listened to the debate for about 2 hours or an hour and 45 minutes of the 2 hours.
A few segments out of it.
And
specifically chosen by you.
Again, the it was very clear that, like, because you're looking at the streamer who's not Jon Tron and his facial expressions and everything, and you're not really looking at Jon Tron at all. Like, there's no camera. It's all through Skype or whatever. There was this, and I realize I even fell into it, because when you're hearing this, it sounds crazy. It sounds bigoted and racist.
It really
and everything.
Did. I will say that, because the segments that you sent me did.
Right. There were several points in there where Jon Jafari specifies that, no one wants to be a minority in their own country, implying that white people own America. It not just that they're the majority, but that to be an American is to be white. And of course, the other guy was like, "What are you talking about? That's insane! You don't want to say things like that. Like, are you a racist?" And he's like, "No, I'm not a racist."
Over yourself.
All right. So, the media has been tearing Jon Jafari apart for this, but he released a video today that specifically was him, and it was rehearsed. He has a script. You can see that he's reading off of it, and I don't think he's trying to mask that. But he was very
intelligent thing to do.
I feel like he was honest, and he even said, he goes, "I'm not known for debate. I don't know a lot about how to debate well." And this isn't a quote, but he effectively said, "I realize that a lot of what I said could have been taken out of context and kind of skewed and misinterpreted, so I'd like to clear that up." And all the video holistically sort of wanted him to say was, I don't think that the conversation about race can only be had if you are black or if you were Asian or African-American or Asian-American. That you can't want to have an honest debate about race or an honest discussion about race when you really don't want to have an honest discussion about race, because it's only in one direction. If you aren't if you are a minority and you're not the majority, then if the majority cannot have a seat at that table, then it's not an honest discussion about race. And again, we're both white. I don't know if you could tell on the radio.
Through microphones, I don't know.
But I agree.
I'm trans, and so I get, like, we need people like you in these debates.
Right, right. There needs to be.
If only trans people are debating.
Don't be an echo chamber, right? You can't be an echo chamber.
And I truly believe that is a product of modern social media.
Right.
Facebook does it. They're a business. They want you around happy thoughts, people that share your opinion.
Right. You get put in a vacuum.
Pay attention to your newsfeed. Look at friends that have opposite views of you. You'll notice they don't show up in your newsfeed nearly as much.
They're less frequent, right? So, Jon Jafari, he stated several things about, he doesn't. It's not about the majority. It's about the white person is automatically wrong mentality when we're talking about racism or we're talking about this. It's like you can't have an opinion. And I can't say that I've ever really felt that way, because, again, living in Southern Louisiana, we're a fairly mixed bunch down here, especially being close to New Orleans and Baton Rouge and lots of different people, especially being close to, say, Mexico. We've got a lot of immigration in Louisiana, illegal and otherwise, illegal and legal. So it's not. I think when he was in the debate, he did sound like a racist, bigoted, crazy person.
He really did.
But when you get sort of a little bit more of a collected,
that's
sense
the problem
of him,
with going to a debate unprepared.
Ill-prepared,
I think if you watch this and watch his follow-up and everything, that's the lesson to take from this. If you're going to publicly debate someone, make sure you know the topics, which is going to
be
discussed.
Be prepared.
To quote The Lion King, be prepared.
So, yeah.
It's not just a... It's not as easy as just talking to a microphone.
We'll probably have a react video or something. Maybe we'll watch it. We might talk about it a little bit later, but you know, we have a little more time. Next on the chopping block is, and that's kind of ironic that I said that, but SourceFed nerd, and
no,
people be like, for part of
The
DeFranco creative. So Ava Gordy, Mike Falzone, Candace Carzales, and Steven Septic, as well as many other creators. We'll be looking for work very soon. Though I mean, they're funny people. They're successful enough. I'm sure they'll
be fine. They'll find something. But I love
these SourceFed, SourceFed nerd, and people be like are now being discontinued. They're being canceled, put on indefinite hiatus. I think Table Talk indefinite hiatus, because even though Philip DeFranco creative or the DeFranco creative hosted these shows, and Philip DeFranco will still be on sort of his channel, his regularly scheduled whatever.
Right.
This was acquired by the Discovery Digital Media Group a while back, I think 2013, 2014, something like that.
Yeah,
and
which
then
I was just unaware of, to
that,
be honest.
It doesn't really matter. You know, like they own a lot of things. They own Revision 3, they
right.
own the DeFranco Networks, the Rev 3 Games, Seeker, stuff like that. Anyway, they got changed into Group 9 Media, which decided to merge Seeker and Now This, which Now This is like Millennial News Network for young people, sort of, on Facebook and on Snapchat. Yeah, that's becoming Seeker. That's sort of the Now This team is taking over Seeker, and then they're canceling off SourceFed Nerd, SourceFed, and people be like, DeFranco's still going to be doing their thing. And they say they did this because they're switching up how they're doing things. They're just they're going a different direction with a lot of this. They're bringing on new people.
I want the sound clip from Emperor's New Groove now.
There was an interesting thing on Philip DeFranco's show. All last week, he's made weekly or daily shows, rather. He took off last week,
right.
And posted a video specifically saying, like, there's some stuff happening in my personal and professional life, and I need to take a week off in order to deal with it. I'm sorry.
I get him.
Please, you know, just be patient with me. And he took a week off. And first off, fantastic. He didn't just disappear for a week because
right.
there is. He says, you know, what's up, you beautiful bastards? He says that all the time, and he calls, you know, DeFranco, the family, the network, you know, the whole, you know, I guess the DeFranco family, the whole
yeah.
network, the nation. He says it. So it's good that he, as a creator,
I really
kind
like
of
him
reached
as creator,
out,
by
right?
The way.
So he came back. He didn't want to discuss it, but you know, this kind of clears a little bit of it up. It sort of came at the same time as the JonTron thing and a few other
right.
things, PewDiePie things. I know I listened
Yay,
to Boogie
YouTube drama.
2988. That dude is awesome. I hope one day I'll be traveling
dude,
through Arkansas randomly and talk to him. We'd have
remember
a burger.
Remember a while back when his channel disappeared?
Yeah, we didn't know what happened to him.
I was so scared. Yeah, I was running all over the internet. I was afraid
yeah.
he died.
We are going to cut to a song, come back, and end out the show because we are out of time. This is Zero
time.
Day by MC Frontalot. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points, but not for much longer. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was Zero Day by MC Frontalot. Thanks for hanging out with us.
We made it
for this
to the show again.
This hour again. We don't know. I really need to like post like a athletic schedule or something in this studio.
I like, you're pointing at the wall, yeah.
In this studio, in this corner of the studio, this big
so
giant
we know
cavern.
They're doing the sports balls.
Yeah, so we know when we can expect. Because usually if a game starts at 8, chances are it's going to last till 9:50,
right.
10 o'clock, maybe even later. Or even if it starts at 7, like
Southeastern.
We've
been mumped
really
a few times, so I'm sorry. I don't really follow sports that much. It right. sounds like we're doing good, though. That's a good thing, right?
We're definitely holding our own.
Go us.
I know
go Lions.
The sports that we're playing with the players that we have on the team
Ooh,
are
yes.
playing the sports that they're playing.
I'm really not making fun of you
and
guys.
And we're playing
I'm,
other teams.
I'm very happy.
No, yeah, okay, so that's something. We're sarcastic most
yeah,
of the time.
Yeah, we're sarcastic and jerks.
And
we've super good job. I just don't know enough about to diligently talk about them.
But we've said it in the previous shows where you know, KSLU is dedicated to Southeastern athletics. We
right.
we want to support the – you've got to support your team, right?
Absolutely.
And I've actually – I know tomorrow Southeastern's playing LSU
oh,
or
fancy.
At LSU in Baton Rouge or something. So it might be – I think it starts at 6 maybe or 7. So it might be – we might get overrun and pushed again. And if so, then this is going to be a week late. And
but
you
then
know,
we'll be back.
We'll be back. That'll be that'll
we'll
be
keep
when we
recording
happen.
And get pushed and
you can
get
listen
on.
To all of the chopped up audio. I think I'm a week behind. I got to push this.
It's all
previous
freshly
week.
Chopped.
It's freshly chopped.
Get it while it's hot.
Cried when I did it. Well, how do you? What do you? Hold on. What do you envision? What do you envision I do to make it both chopped, fresh, and hot? What we have all of our audio hosted on the website, along with news, reviews, blogs, images, funny little quips, poetry.
I'm just picturing with an axe and amps right
everything.
Now.
Everything. Bear, what is the website?
You go to exppoints.com. Remember, double tap the P.
We're also on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, YouTube, and Steam Community, amongst other things. You can check out that landing page at exppoints.com/social. We're also on podcast technologies like Google Play, Music Podcast Services, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, amongst other things. So check us out, sync us up, subscribe, like, tweet, everything.
Thumbs up.
We are going to be back next week or the following week. We'll come back at least. We do plan on having, I plan on writing up a Horizon Zero Dawn piece with you know, pictures. I know I posted something on Facebook not too long ago, but I plan on doing something on Video Game Rewind. I know Video Game Rewind is kind of a misnomer that, like, well, it just came out, but it came out in the past, and I played it, so that's the rewind part.
Any video games.
We're not playing future games yet.
Ooh, we should, though.
Well,
we could. Play games that haven't come out yet.
Might even do like a video review of it. I don't know. And then there will be a Mass Effect Andromeda video once. I probably will restart it, and I'll comment on the whole thing. So Anyway, thanks for hanging out with us. I've been MG.
And I've been Red Bear.
Have a good week. Until next time you hear us, this has been Experience Points, exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
By the way, we're gonna end with My OCD by Rhett & Link.
That's awesome.
That's what we're going to do.
Let's do it. That picture frame.